The most exciting part, I think, is the small startups. Like, two guys get together and they get an idea to do kolache because they're from Texas and they mm-hmm. love kolache. And they start out just doing it here and there. And the next thing you know, they're opening a brick and mortar and there are lines out the door for days and they're written up by everybody is having the best. It's just so nice to see people start out with a good idea and become huge.
Welcome to It's All Journalism. My name is Michael O'Connell, here with another podcast about digital media and the people who make it. In studio with me today are two colleagues from WTOP Radio. They're actually not here necessarily talking about radio. They're actually here to talk about podcasting. Welcome. First of all, Rachel Nania is the living editor at WTOP, and Jason Fraley, who's been on the podcast before, he's WTOP's entertainment editor and movie reviewer and whatnot. So you guys have just started a podcast called Capital Culture. So let's start there first. So tell me about Capital Culture.
Sure. So like you mentioned, I'm the living editor, Jason's the entertainment editor. So we go out and do stories every day for our respective pages up there on WTOP.com, gather a lot of tape because we also file on-air pieces. And, you know, on-air pieces are typically limited to, what, 35, maybe 40 seconds.
40 if you're lucky.
If Brian Drew is being nice.
Yeah.
No, he's always nice. But, you know, we just had all this extra tape and these great interviews that you can't really get into. And so I think we were looking for a different medium to in a different way to display those interviews with these people. I mean, mine's more kind of trends and, you know, food, lifestyle around town. Jason gets some great celebrity interviews and it's, you know, not every day do you get to talk, you know, for 20 minutes with Kevin Costner and then, you know, you only get to use 35 seconds of it. So
Yeah, that was sort of the pain was that, you know, it's you know, for you too, it's a daily struggle to try to cram this awesome interview with Kevin
right.
Costner or whoever into that 40-second slot. And now they have that Lido pizza sponsorship, it's the entertainment report. And I'm like, that's awesome, but even less time.
You just took up 5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. It just felt like we were doing a lot of work and a lot of cool content. And people, mm-hmm. these great people we were talking to, you with the chefs and restaurants and Union Market and all this stuff, and me with, you know, Kevin Costner and I got the Temptations coming up or whatever. It would almost seem like a shame to just shoehorn that into 40 seconds. And I post the full interview on the web article every day, but I wasn't sure how many people were, you know, reading to the end and listening to it. You know, it just seemed like we needed another outlet to play the long forms.
Now, you've been doing this for a couple of months. Have you gotten any feedback from anybody?
Yes.
Mostly good.
Yeah. The first one we did, we really just kind of went in there. Both of us went in there blindly. We'd never done a podcast before. I will admit I am a podcast junkie. I have my podcast that I listen to religiously. So I kind of had an idea of what, you know, the structure should be or what we should do. The first one, though, was about, 55 minutes? It was a little long.
Pushing an hour. We've since cut it to about
around 30.
The last one was 28. So, yeah that was...
That was
it's been
the biggest,
some trial and error.
Yeah, and I'd say another thing, too, is, you know, when I go out on interviews, I'm so used to the mic being more pointed at the subject because I'm getting their tape for the air, and I'll wrap my voice around that. And so I think one thing our boss, Julia Ziegler, said right away was, I'm having trouble hearing you when you replay these interviews. So it's kind of made us had to think, it's made me at least have to think more about it when I go out on interviews. Okay, if I'm going to use this for the podcast later this week, I need to make myself sound good as well as the person I'm interviewing.
Yeah, I know that the couple that I listen to, I mean, Jason, a lot of your interviews, you're either one-on-one or they're over the phone. And I know that, Rachel, you're out in the field a lot. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about, like, incorporating natural sound and other things into your storytelling?
Definitely. And actually, that's this last week was a good example of that, only I think I had a little too much natural sound. I was in a restaurant, and they had just opened, and I worry that it was just too much banging and clanking of dishes. So it is that kind of constant struggle to, you know, get the ambient noise from where you are and let the listener kind of go to that place, even if it's just in their mind, and then also make it so it's audible.
Well, but in addition to it changing how you're saying how it changes how you record your interviews. It also has sort of altered the way that I do like my story planning, my Google Calendar. Because before you would sort of time stuff with, okay, this it's going to air on the radio and on the web, and so maybe I'll run it, you know, the week of the show. But now I'm sort of starting to think ahead in terms of what the podcast options could be, because we always post it on Friday. And so you're sort of like, well, what would be good sort of leading into the weekend? And I guess in some cases, you know, it's kind of a cool thing for listeners that they can say, oh, I'm going to hear the full interview before actually, you know, the full story airs on WTOP. So in a way, it can kind of be like a sneak peek, I guess.
Yeah.
So what's your turnaround? I mean, it's a Thursday and you guys just said you just finished doing your recording for it. Is your turnaround then just, you know, you got to get it ready for tomorrow morning?
Yeah, we got to get it ready. So,
the recording's the easy part.
The recording is the easiest part because we just hop in the studio for, you know, 10 minutes, kind of do a little bit of banter back and forth, introduce what we're going to talk about. What takes us a long time is editing stuff down, editing ourselves down from that recording, and then also editing our interviews down because, like we mentioned, some of them can be 20 minutes long that we do.
Some are a half hour.
Yeah. And we're really only playing 5 minutes. Clips. Yeah. Even though we're playing longer portions of the interview, they're not nearly as long as the content that we have. So going back and listening to that and editing those down to these, you know, 5 minute clips. We have a secret guest on this week's episode and we just had a great conversation with him upstairs, but it was 20 minutes. So we need to make that 10. So, you know, kind of finding the time to go back and cut those
down.
It was
the secret guest. We can probably spoil it.
Yeah, this is going to be a couple of weeks out.
Probably air after ours anyway. It was with Bob Marburg of the Traffic Center. he came up to me raving about The Night Of on HBO. And this was before we had seen it. I was still in my Stranger Things phase. And he came up and said, I've just watched this show. Because he watched it live week to week, right?
Right.
You and I just binged it.
Yeah, I'm a binge.
But yeah, just so we had Rick Massimo come on earlier because he literally wrote the book on the Newport Film Festival. He literally wrote the book on the Newport Folk Festival, you know, where Dylan did his electric Dylan thing and all that. So I don't know. We just try to highlight different people that are up there and have sort of side passions and let them come talk about The Night Of for a bit, even though you're used to hearing them in traffic.
So listening to a couple of your podcasts, you know, what it reminds me of are sort of and don't take it in a bad way if this is a bad thing, those magazine type shows that were sort of locally focused, you know, like what celebrities in town, you know, what interesting restaurant is going on. And it's sort of, you guys have your sort of banter back and forth, but then you sort of go into your reports and it sort of takes you someplace else. The one that I was listening to this morning was the one with the, I guess there's an event coming up at the OAS, and you were talking about the garden. The Organization of American States, they have a garden party.
Yes.
And, you know, that was kind of neat because it kind of puts you into the place. And the other thing I really like about your podcast is, and I forget what the tag is you have at the beginning of it, but the fact is, you know, that people think of Washington, D.C. as just politics, as museums and, you know, just a place to go to tourist. But there are a lot of really cool cultural things here. I mean, D.C. is a foodie city.
Number one by Bon Appetit, named.
Tons of theaters and, you know, Arena Stage and Kennedy.
It drives me mad when people, like, to be honest, when people just associate this town with politics. Because there are so many people who, beyond that, I mean, there's a huge creative community in this city.
They call it the creative economy is how all the officials are trying to brand it.
For funding-wise. But it really, this city is so much more than just what happens down on Pennsylvania Avenue and up on Capitol Hill and all the lobbying firms in between.
So our intro. Do our intro.
Wait, really?
Go, do our intro.
Okay. Let's see. If you think D.C. is all politics and traffic, think again.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really
Please don't talk at the same time again. I'm just saying.
Go on. Okay. So it's really just trying to, you know, unveil that.
We're talking about the podcast, but that's actually part of what your job is. I mean, you know, day in, day out, you're doing, you know, feature stories, living stories, you know, entertainment stories for people in the DC area. You know, obviously if you live here, you know that there's lots of different things to do. You know, what do you see as, you know, the sort of daily challenges for each of you in trying to find these types of stories?
Keeping it fresh. And I also think, too, balancing it between doing longer, more in-depth features where you have, you know, multiple interviewees and subjects, and then doing those, like, one-off quick stories. Also, too, trying to come to terms with, like, I'm not the person scooping the next big restaurant, you know? That's not my job. So what I'll do is kind of wait and, you know, when news that a restaurant's opening, I'll wait. You know, it's the news isn't that they're opening. I'll try and talk to the chef about something that they're doing that's special there that makes them there. So just trying to find that angle and just...
Yeah, the chef you had on, the one that I was listening to, she likes potatoes. I remember that.
Potatoes,
that
yes, that's Doran down at Farewell on H Street. Yeah, it's a vegan restaurant, so, and she's big on potatoes.
Yeah, see, I learned, I listened.
He did his homework.
I don't know, what is your struggle?
Are we talking podcasts or more the entertainment?
No, just both.
The stories, finding the good stuff and just balancing it. I love doing the longer pieces, but the reality of it is you have to turn out a story every day.
And the other thing is that we've just sort of defined this. You both work for a news radio station where you may, you know, we touched on it before, that you may only have a short spot on air, but you also produce a feature that may have multimedia in it for the website. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're taking the same content, but you're, you know, putting it out in different formats. And now you're putting it out into a podcast.
Yeah, true. I mean, if anything, it's almost the opposite. Like these positions themselves began as web only positions.
Yeah,
so
both of us.
My predecessor, Alicia Lozano, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it used to be just like your job is to write up a long form, you know, heavy duty, straight up like print journalism type of thing for the web that, you know, has the multimedia and stuff in it. But this is your cover story for the day. You know, this is the entertainment story and this is the living story for the day. So I think it was only recently that I'd say like 2 years ago around when I started that we started doing a lot more of the crossover stuff and having daily, you know, pieces on the air and stuff. So for me, I think that's the major struggle. Sometimes I wish it would be, you know, it's like, oh, I wish I could just sit and finesse this article a little bit.
Right.
But then, you know, you're spending another hour or two doing the on-air piece, too.
Right.
But in terms of struggles, I don't know. I feel like mainly just learning to say no, because
we get
so many press releases and, you know, there's a million concert venues. There's a million theater shows going on in town. I'm also trying to see as many movies and, you know, TV shows and stuff as possible. So in the end, you got to learn to, you know, you can only cover so much.
Right? Yeah. And then balance your coverage to make sure that, oh, you know, I better do a theater story because I haven't done one in weeks,
exactly.
You know, things like that.
And that features into the podcast too. It's like, well, I have two TV and like this week.
Right,
like,
we're all TV.
I talked to Tim Meadows, remember the Ladies Man?
Yeah.
But and Henry Winkler too, the Fonz, about their two TV shows. But you're like, you know what? We can't go too heavy on the TV. I'll do a Kennedy Center thing.
Right.
So that factors into the podcast lineup too.
Yeah, and that sort of changes your day-to-day as well. It's like, oh, I guess this is going to be the big story for that day when you may have gone to something else. Now, Rachel, you sort of touched on the sort of, you know, the types of things you like to do. You like to write long stories, and you know, I've had Jason on the podcast before. He's told me what he likes to do. But what are the things that are, you know, this podcast is about for journalists? I mean, you know, what are some of the tricks that you use in coming up with ideas or you know, booking or finding guests or you know, finding different types of stories?
Reading. No, if I could take one day out of the week and just dedicate it to reading other content, I wish I could, because that is where all of my ideas come from. And not necessarily like ripping other ideas, but just like, oh, I wonder if we can take that idea and kind of make it more local. So I get a lot of ideas off of just, you know, reading other content out there. Press releases, I'm not going to say that. I mean, stories come from press releases and, you know, sometimes a press release will come through and they'll be pitching one thing. You say, actually, can we take it and like maybe do this angle instead? I'd love to talk to the chef there or like or your subject there about that. And then also just being aware of trends going on in the various industries, whether it's parenting, health, food, fashion, you know, just watching TV and paying attention to what's out there really is.
But that's what amazes me about what you do. Not to pat your back or anything, but no, seriously, it's a lot of your stuff. Like with my stuff, it's a lot of it's, you know, timed to a specific concert or a movie's coming out this Friday or this show's at the Kennedy Center, so it has to run by this certain date. But for you, like what amazes me is how you're generating sort of these more featurey things that I guess are a bit more evergreen. But to be able to like keep populating the calendar and come up with those ideas is, I feel like you have to work harder to get the idea itself as opposed to I say, oh, this concert's coming, you know?
I left off the biggest thing, and that is other people in this newsroom come to me with ideas all the time. Mm-hmm. And that is where a lot of story ideas come from. You know, people have, the managers have their meetings in the morning discussing news of the day. Story ideas will come out of there. People just come up to my desk and say, hey, have you ever thought about doing this? tons of people come to you with story ideas, so I cannot take credit at all for a lot of my story ideas.
So are you the guys, or is it your desk that they're running that the contest, the top?
The top, yes, yeah.
Top 10.
So it's technically the whole newsroom. A few of us are kind of heading it up. I put together the galleries. Ginger and Kelly, our social media directors, are really kind of plugging away at getting people to vote. So, yeah, that's
cool. I don't think we have anybody on the podcast before who's covered food or covered restaurants.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. What's that experience like?
Oh, it's been so fun. It fell into my lap, first of all, as everything.
Like a nice plate of food.
Like a nice juicy steak.
Like a big plate of spaghetti.
I mean, like everyone here, I started out working part-time overnight on the desk. Literally, everybody here starts out with those hours. And someone else was in the living position, and I started contributing a few stories to that. I was freelancing for another website in town called Borderstan, which just revived. Yay! Love that website. And I was doing, you know, food and openings and stuff like that for them. And so I started doing a little bit of that for TOP when I got here. And then when the former living editor left, I was fortunate enough to slide into that role and kind of do it full time. And covering food's been a lot of fun. Again, I'm not the, like, you know, this is opening here, this is opening now. It's more of just kind of overall what's going on in the scene. And, oh, I just said the scene. That sounds
the scene.
The scene.
On the scene.
But I will say, so November is going to be my fourth year here. In the past 4 years, I cannot even tell you how much it's become a big part of DC. I mean, you hear the, oh yeah, we were just named the best food city. This city has grown so much. And all of it is the most exciting part, I think, is the small startups. Like, two guys get together and they get an idea to do kolache because they're from Texas and they love kolache. And they start out just doing it here and there. And the next thing you know, they're opening a brick and mortar and there are lines out the door for days and they're written up by everybody is having the best. It's just so nice to see people start out with a good idea and become huge.
Or do they start a food truck?
Yeah, a food truck.
We've got a great food truck. Or a brew pub, because we've got so many breweries in the DC area.
Or, right, I mean, Chaya, the taco place, they start at the farmer's market and they build a huge following. And the next thing you know, they have their own store in Georgetown. It's just, it's really.
And it's good food, but it's also, I mean, those are great stories too.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's always the people, and I'm taking Bob Marberg's line here. It's always the people behind the subject of the story. Like, why, what made them want to do this? You know, how do they keep going?
Yeah, I found the one story that you had in the podcast that I was listening to about the guy at the market, at the Eastern Market, whose family had been there. And I guess they were chicken wholesalers.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it was a completely different, you know, angle to a food story, where rather than it's a restaurant, these are people who sort of started out in the, you know, we're supplying restaurants with stuff.
Yep.
Oh, and then on the weekends, we sell defective chickens.
Yes.
To people. And so then suddenly it becomes a big thing. And he's been, you know, the family's been doing it for generations.
Generations.
The human
that
story
was fascinating.
Is the best.
Oh, absolutely. It's always about the human story at the end of it. I feel like
even the celebrity people, I think I found myself doing that more and more too. Is just finding out how they got into it. Like we had David Crosby on.
Yeah, I heard
you know,
one.
Of the Birds and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And just by going the human route, his dad shot High Noon. He was a cinematographer for Grace Kelly and Gary. Like, I had no idea. But if you kind of do, you know, the human side and chart how they got into it, A, it will inspire other people that realize, oh, they were nothing to start with, too. But I think it's just more relatable. And it also makes the people think of celebrities as divas and stuff. But no, they're really just regular people. And I think that lets them lean back in the chair and relax and, oh, this guy gets me. You know, I like the human angle.
Yeah.
And the Kevin Costner interview where you talked about his roots in, I guess, gospel music, even, or his church music.
Well, he said his first performance was at the church, the nativity. He said he was like the wise men, and he's like, I had one line, hark, there it is. He said the little hat would fall over his eyes, but yeah, and like his family would like play music in the church, and that's how he like got into music. But yeah, there's always interesting little stories that you don't always know about.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot more wrinkles to it. So I wanted to ask you guys a couple of things about sort of entertainment and lifestyle. You were talking before about, like, you know, you're both watching television and TV shows. And actually, the first, before I even get into that, I want to ask you this, Rachel. You said that you're a podcast junkie. What podcast do you listen to? Which are your favorites?
This is going to show you how much I limit myself, because they all have one thing in common. Dinner Party Download. Have you guys?
I've heard of that.
Okay,
yeah.
It is fantastic. Those guys are amazing. I saw them recently. They did a live taping up at the Fillmore in Silver Spring, and it was just everything I dreamed it would be. So Dinner Party Download, definitely. Bon Appetit has a pretty good podcast out. And their editor, Adam Rappaport, is actually from D.C. originally, so he always mentions D.C., which I like hearing. Brian Drew upstairs got me turned on to the Sporkful.
I forget what the guy's name is.
So love that. Of course, I mean, I've listened to This American Life forever.
Wait, don't tell me.
I like that. I listened to that live. That's my Saturday. Wait, don't tell me. So, and then Food 52 has a podcast out too that I've caught on occasion. It's pretty good.
How about you? Do you listen to podcasts?
I named the one that I kind of will check out every now and then is Wait, Don't Tell Me. What's the other All Things Considered? Is that another one?
Well, that's
more of a regular.
Yeah.
No, but I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I'm sort of a podcast newbie, you know? Rachel has her list of menu items, so to speak. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of new to this whole game. A lot of the only sort of podcast I listen to is a lot of, like, you know, sports talk stuff that I miss during the day, and I'll pull that up. But I'm kind of, you know, I kind of unplug when I get out of TOP.
I just love them. You can do anything while you're listening to a podcast. I listen to podcasts when I run. I listen to podcasts when I clean. I listen to podcasts when I'm just, like, walking home, when I'm grocery shopping. I have a new baby. I'll listen to the podcast when he's up in the middle of the night.
What's the one that Alec... I'd have listened to one that Alec Baldwin does, where he'll interview Julie Andrews and a couple people.
I forgot what the name of that is. That is a really great one.
I'm blanking on it, too, but I really enjoy that one. And it's long form, too.
Yeah.
So there's one. But yeah, I listen to a lot of sports.
Well, you should listen
to entertainment
more.
All day at work.
Yeah, I know. You gotta change it up a little.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you gotta listen to more podcasts. There's lots more.
It's all journalism. I listen to that one.
That's my favorite one.
I forgot.
Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I'm sitting here trying to think. I mean, certainly there are a lot of entertainment podcasts you could be listening to. None of which, like, leap to mind. I listen to Nerdist.
That's
a great one. The great interviews in that. I listen to Marin because he's a great interviewer on WTF. I mean, those are the main ones. My favorite one, and I keep mentioning this on the podcast, is called Hardcore History. It's by Dan Carlin, and it's a typical episode comes in at 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
But it takes him like 3 or 4 months to actually produce it. And it's like highly produced. It's history. Like, he takes a period of history, and it's multiple parts. So he'll have like a 4-part, you know, 12-hour thing divided up over like a year and a half. But it's like really detailed. He tells these great stories, historical stories, because he's like a real history nerd. And it's just great stuff. You know, if you've got an itch, you know, there's a podcast out there to scratch it. So they say. That's what they tell me. So back into it. So now we're going to nerd out a little bit. First of all, I know you, in passing, you mentioned Stranger Things.
Yes.
So what's your take on Stranger Things?
Rachel watched it too.
Okay. Let's talk about it. I've watched it all. You've watched it all.
I've almost forgotten what happened. No, I'm just kidding.
You need to watch it again.
I know.
I thought it was, like, I knocked it out really quick. Like, I really was on board, and, you know, it's definitely, I don't know how you say it. It's definitely, like, more of the campy variety. It's got some cheesier elements to it that are almost, you know, lovingly so, you know, because it's all wrapped in the, I like, the late 70s, early 80s nostalgia. They crank that up to 11.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Thank you. But it's basically like.
Oh, my gosh, I just got it.
Yeah, there you go. It's from an 84 movie.
Don't encourage him.
Yeah, no. But those are the things that I really liked, were sort of the Poltergeist meets E.T., meets the kids from the Goonies, meets the monster from Alien, meets Close Encounters kind of a thing. So, instead of, you know, Richard Dreyfuss with the mashed potato mountain, it's Winona Ryder with blinking Christmas lights. You know, it's parents that seem to be going crazy but are really trying to look for their lost kid that got sucked into the TV set, like Poltergeist or whatever, you know, whatever that, you know, the analogy is. But I really dug it, and I like that it's sort of, even like the sort of cheesy opening credits, it's sort of a, I love it. It's like a great throwback.
I love the credits. I love the opening music. It just... sets the tone. And then it's so Spielbergian. It's like, you know, it's in that universe in the way it tells its story. I think it's sort of delighted a lot of people in sort of the way that it's a really well done series, a really well done horror science fiction mm-hmm. series with it has kids in it that's not too scary, that, you know, it's kind of neat. It's a real sort of throwback to those movies you mentioned.
I think we're really starting to see the mark that Spielberg left on everything, because, you know, everyone loved
all those
his movie.
People are now
exactly
filmmakers.
Everyone loved his blockbusters in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Then he, you know, with Schindler's List and Private Ryan and everything from 90s on up to Lincoln and everything, it was more like, okay, he's an acclaimed guy now too. But now I really was starting to see his legacy of like the generation that grew up on Spielberg and Lucas, for an example, I guess. But it's almost like the Stranger Things reminds me so much of J.J. Abrams' Super 8. Remember
yeah.
that movie?
Yeah,
which
it
was about
a lot like it.
A group of kids.
Mm-hmm. With the train.
It's yeah. a monster. Yeah. A monster invades this like 80s suburban town kind of a thing. It reminds me more of that than anything. But even that, and I'm sure Abrams is on the record somewhere of saying this. I don't have the quote, but I'm sure he was inspired by Spielberg for
well,
that.
I thought that was produced by Spielberg.
It might even actually have been. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's certainly got his fingerprints all over it. What are your thoughts?
My favorite thing about Stranger Things is that it is a great intro for those who like sci-fi light, like myself. I'm not a huge sci-fi fan. I appreciate it, and I like Star Wars. But I don't totally love that genre. But I thought this was just the perfect mix of sci-fi, suspense. I can't say horror because I'm the biggest scaredy cat and I can totally watch this show. Yeah. Now, granted, I did see some things when I woke up in the middle of the night and had to walk down my dark hallway to the bathroom. I could see some things coming out of the wall. But I think it was it appeals to the masses.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the monster is scary, but not too scary.
Right. Right.
I mean, it is a scary monster, but it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. But it's like a boogeyman type of thing.
Right.
And
exactly.
I actually, to me, that's like the one thing that I didn't like about it was when they started showing the monster so much. I don't know. I enjoyed it more when
it was scarier when you didn't see
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, the old Jaws Spielberg rule, right? Or like Ridley Scott and Alien. And when you kind of see it, it almost
has. It was just alien like.
It sort of had the Signs effect to me, the M. Night Shyamalan Signs, when you finally saw the alien and Joaquin Phoenix's swing away, Meryl, and he's hitting it. There's literally a scene like that in Stranger Things where the boyfriend comes and hits the alien. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't want to be too harsh on it because I really did enjoy the show. And it's part of the campy quality to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I want to pull back on the monster just a tad, but that's nitpicking. I do like the little dark world that it lives in, the upside down.
That's pretty cool.
That's great.
Where it's all black and then like liquid on the ground. It reminded me of that Scarlett Johansson movie. Did you see Under the Skin?
No, I haven't, but I heard it's really good.
Yeah, she's like an alien that comes down and takes the form of a woman. I can't remember what country, somewhere in Europe, and sort of seduces men. You know, most of them are you know, perverts, and you know, you like what they get coming to them, you know, and they die. But she lures them into like a. It looks exactly like that. It's like this all black space universe with liquid on the ground, and she lures them in and drowns them and kills them. But I think they were inspired by that movie, I think.
So sort of a combination of Species and Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Look at that. Actually, we had the star of Species in here yesterday, Mark Helgenberger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'd forgotten that she'd been in that. But she was not the alien, though.
No, she was in Species, though.
Yeah.
And she, we Facebook Lived it yesterday because she's coming to Arena Stage. But yeah.
So cool. Well, that's neat. Well, this has been really kind of great. I think we kind of reached a point where maybe I'm going to let you guys go and actually edit your podcast.
No, we need to work on our
pieces.
We have to
write our stories for tomorrow.
Okay, well, cool. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
How can people find your podcast?
You can find us on WTOP.com, search Capital Culture, and there it'll have all of our past episodes plus a link to our iTunes. Our podcast on iTunes.
And it just got on iTunes. Last week or something.
And you can subscribe.
We started on SoundCloud as a test run. Yeah. And we're like, people need to log in. This isn't good. We need to get it. So now we're on the website. We're on Audio Boom. We're on iTunes. It's easier to find.
Yes.
You can hit the podcast button on your phone.
Hit the podcast button on your phone and search Capital Culture.
Okay, cool. Well, let's do that. All right, thanks.
Thank you for having us, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Yep. Awesome.
Next time on It's All Journalism.
Looking back, I think it was one of those things where you're not scared because you don't really know what you don't know. You know, you're running around, you're wearing the helmet and the flak jacket, and you're like, oh, this is great, when you realize that, you know, a mortar round or an IED or something could happen. So it's this, you know, happy wanderer kind of effect for the first time around.
Join us next time when we talk about covering the national security beat with Carlo Munoz of The Washington Times and Paul Schenkman of U.S. News and World Report. You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find out more about us and download past episodes at itsalljournalism.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. This week's podcast was put together by producer Nicole Agrisco, web editor Amber Healy, and me, your host, Michael O'Connell. It's All Journalism is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.